Good morning, everyone. Oh, that's a little weird. Not quite used to hearing my voice up here, but we're going to make it work today. So, good morning. It's a wonderful day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen? So, this morning, faith is what you make it. It's the title of my message this morning. So what I want to do this morning is I want to get you guys to think just a little bit. Now, you may be sitting there and you're like, well, Austin, I mean, come on, we're always thinking, right? Well, I want to twist that up. I want to get you to think a little bit deeper than you're maybe used to thinking. So, this past semester in high school, or in college, not high school, I'm not in high school anymore. This past semester in college has been a little challenging for me. I've gone through several different struggles with my own faith, challenges such as being with such a diverse people group, all of them having their own set of beliefs, different values, different morals. It's really come and hit me hard. Spiritually, I was challenged. These different people have sort of knocked down the walls of my faith, and I've had to sort of build them back up. As all of you know, I've always grown up in the church. I've been here ever since I was little. Sunday morning, we had Sunday school. Sunday, we had our service, sometimes even Sunday night services, youth group thrown in there. And through all of that, I've always had what I thought was my understanding of who God is, what God was, and what my faith looked like. Specifically speaking, I had a philosophy class. And I know some of you, whenever you hear the word philosophy, it's like, oh no, philosophy, this is not a good thing. But for me, I really enjoyed it. I thought going into it, I was like, you know what, I enjoy thinking. I enjoy deep thoughts and interesting topics and things like that. So, you know what, this will be good. But as I got into it, this class was constantly presenting these challenges to my faith. The discussions that we were having, whether that would be different subjects such as who is God or what is my purpose for being here or things like that. With all of the different arguments from the other kids in this class, it was very easy to get swept up in these different thoughts, and I had no idea anymore where my own beliefs were going to be falling. So, you could say that I was struggling at this point with my faith. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know where I was going or what I wanted to be at this point in my faith. But by no means did I ever lose my faith. I was always still understanding that there is a God. There is His people to do His work, and I knew that I was one of them. But I was really struggling with those why questions. Like, why was I here? What was God doing with my life? And where did He want me to go? So this is where I want to begin this morning. I don't know about you, but for myself, anytime that I heard anybody else saying, you know what, I'm struggling with my faith today, I've always taken that as, well, this person is obviously doubting God, or he or she is having some struggles with his faith. And so this was also getting me to think that maybe this person was sliding backwards in his or her walk with God. But I want to say that I don't think this is the case anymore. Seeing it firsthand, I know that there's something bigger here. So if you could turn with me this morning, go to Genesis chapter 32. We're going to start in verse 22. If you don't have a Bible, don't worry. It's up on the screen behind me, so you can follow along. That night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When he saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go until you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" Jacob answered. "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. Wrestling with God. That's the title that my Bible gives to this set of scriptures. So I want to ask you a question. Are you wrestling with God this morning? Have you been asking him about something and you just can't seem to find an answer, or you can't seem to be hearing what he has to say? Well, we can see here in these scriptures that Jacob had this passion, this overwhelming desire to be blessed by God. Not only did he have this, but he was willing to go to great lengths to receive this blessing. He wrestles with God from night all the way into the morning. Now, wrestling in general is no easy task. It's very hard on your body. It's consuming of your strength and everything like that, and it's just not an easy task. So we can see that Jacob had this persistence to his actions. So this is going to be point number one. Developing or making your faith your own is going to require persistence. So what is persistence? We can define persistence as continuing a task in spite of difficulty until the individual finally achieves his or her goal. So with Jacob, we can see that Jacob's goal was to be blessed by God. This was his overall goal, and he wasn't going to rest until he achieved this goal. Even though Jacob did receive this goal, it came at a price. His persistence cost him something. This something, as we see in verse 25, when the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Thankfully, I've never had my hip torn out of socket or anything, but I can tell you that it is probably not an easy experience to go through. Full of pain, full of grief, full of turmoil. But that didn't stop Jacob here. He fought through it. He made it to his goal, even though that there was this pain that he received. He was physically injured through his struggles. So relating this to this morning, sometimes our own struggling with God or our questioning of God, our doubts that we have, can come at a price too. Being persistent with God can bring answers that shake our faith, things that we never expected to hear. So let me give you an example. Has anyone ever stepped out in faith here and asked God a question like, "God, what is it that you want me to do with my life? What is it that you want me to do to further your kingdom?" Sometimes we ask and we ask and we ask these questions over and over, and we can't seem to find what it is that God wants for us. So we ask and we ask again, and all of a sudden, he answers us. But sometimes it is the exact opposite of what we are expecting. Sometimes he goes, "Well, since you've been asking, I want you to do this." And we just think, "Oh, God, are you sure you want me to do that? I think Dave back there, he's really well suited for this job. I don't think you want me to do it." But after we've been asking for so long, I think God at that point is just like, "Well, you know what? You asked for this." So seeing this happening, we could say that any of these things could be as simple as, I want you to go to this person. I want you to pray for them. It might be taking you out of your comfort zone. But for this person, it could be change to their life. It could be going to the mission field or standing up here and preaching a message. Whatever it is, are you prepared to do it? Will you be able to put your faith to the test? And will you be able to say, "God, your will be done, not mine, but I want to do what it is that you have me do"? It might test your faith, but in the end, it'll be worth it. Going back to Jacob, we see this was a test for him. Wrestling with God was not easy, but he overcame and he achieved his goal. So I have a question. Has anyone out there ever doubted God? Maybe questioned some aspect of him? Maybe asked, "If there is a God, why does X, Y, or Z happen?" Or maybe even, "Is there really a God?" Well, if you have, then welcome to the club. Out of those who said yes, would you say that these times that you were doubting and struggling were just absolutely fantastic, full of joy and things that I'd love to do every single day? Or would you say that it's more along the line of, "You know what? These are some of the worst times that I've ever had. These are trials. These are painful. These are not at all what I'm expecting to have in this Christian life. Well, if you answered yes to the second one, I have some good news. If you would turn to James chapter 1, I'm going to start in verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that it may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Trials of many kinds, we see here, can be seen as doubts or possibly something like questioning God or just having this difficult time understanding and grasping some concept of God. But we see that we are to face these trials with pure joy. This is not an easy thing to do. But because we know that the testing of our faith is something that we have to endure in order to get to the place where God wants us to be, we should face these not with an attitude of loathing or unwillingness to go through them, but rather we should look at this as an opportunity for us to grow deeper and to experience God's full glory and grace. So we see that there are two key points with this verse. We see that it has, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. So we went over the testing of your faith. Now let's look at perseverance. So what is perseverance? Well, we can see that perseverance can be seen as almost the same thing as persistence. It's a continuing of a troubling time for you, but it's more of an endurance rather than persistence. So we can see that persistence is continual. We have to completely let God handle all of our situations. We have to allow him to speak to us. We have to be perseverant through these hard trials. We have to understand that it is God's will for us to go through these, and we have to be willing to accept that. So we see that perseverance, our searching, our striving to understand who God is something so unique to all of us. We can all be experiencing the same thing at the exact same time, yet God is able to use these times to speak to us individually. Take this message, for example. See, God can be using this message for each and every one of you individually. He may be saying to some, "Are you doubting me? Come closer. Allow me to minister to you." To others, he could be saying, "Are you struggling with a personal issue that you have? Allow me to take over. I can help." But no matter what way he's speaking to you, he reveals himself to us. He allows us to grow in our faith through different experiences, even different than the person sitting right next to you. So, so our searching and striving, being completely different, I think, is one of the most important aspects of the Christian faith. Being able to be anywhere, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, God can speak to you. Each and every one of you, possibly a completely different way, whether that be through music, whether that be through prayers, a certain message, or even through God's beautiful creation outside. No matter what it is, he can use it. But we have to be careful with what we're doing in the world, because faith is not easy. And sometimes I think we get caught up in the aspects of everyday living and what it means to be part of the world, but not of the world. So if we can turn to Romans 12, in verse 1, it says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Focusing in on verse 2, we see that it says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world." I've seen it so much today in the church and in the Christian life. We are no longer thinking and growing for ourselves. It's more of a conforming to a tradition, so to speak. We come to church because, well, it's what we've always done. Or, I mean, my friend over here, he or she goes to church, so that's why I go. It's no longer about a relationship to God, but rather something that Christians just do. What they've always done because it's comfortable for them. We need to change this. We need to not do the Christian thing because it's what we're supposed to do. We need to ask God to speak to us. Ask him, why is it that you want me to do this? Why should I go to church? What do you want me to take out of it? It needs to become a more personal, a more intimate relationship between us and God again. So we move into the next line of this verse, and we see that it says, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Test and see what God's will is." Did you catch that? It says, "Test and see." Now, this isn't saying that you have to test him by sinning and see how much you get away with. That's not at all what it's saying. What it's saying is, we are to test God by asking him the hard questions that we have, asking him and to allow us to understand more about him, become more close with him, be able to accept that some things we're just not supposed to know right now, but we need to continue to have that persistence and that perseverance to continue to ask and to continue to grow in him. See, this second half is a real kicker. God is straight up telling us to test him. There's no denying that. But he knows that we're going to doubt him. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows that we're going to have struggles. He knows that we're going to be frustrated with not having the answers that we're looking for. But he invites us to ask him, to test him, and see and trust that his will is perfect. See, this testing of our faith, it's going to produce an incredible relationship with God. It's going to produce a deeper faith, a deeper understanding of who he is. We are to constantly be transforming and renewing our mind. Grow in your faith. Ask God the hard questions that this life has to offer. Ask him why things happen. If it's bothering you, ask him. It might take a little bit. It might take a long time. But no matter what, if you're persistent, you're going to be able to achieve that goal that you have. You're going to be able to know that there's something that he has to tell you. You just have to keep striving to understand what it is. So after we ask these questions, we know that there can be some personal trials. There can be some overwhelming times in our life. There's going to be times that we stand here and we just ask God, "God, why are you doing this to me? What is it that you want to teach me right now?" These are the times that, yes, your faith is going to be tested, but by persevering through this, you're going to come out so much stronger in your faith. You're going to have this much deeper of a relationship with God. So in the end, you'll come out stronger than ever. But don't just stop after one trial or one time of questioning. Continue to grow. Continue to ask God what it is he wants to reveal to you, what he wants to show you. Allow him to build up your faith. So to close, I want to leave you with three questions to ponder over the next day or week. Think about them, pray about them, seek God through them, and deepen your faith through these questions. So the first question, of what value is your faith to you? Is it like Jacob? Are you willing to fight and wrestle with God to receive this blessing that God has for you? Are you willing to go to great lengths through pain, through agony, through turmoil in order to receive what it is that God wants for your life? The second question is, what does your faith mean to you? Is it a part of who you are? Is it a part of your daily living, your daily walk with God? Is it something that you spread to others? Is it something that others can see in you? And finally, is there anything on your mind today? Anything that has been troubling you for the past while? Is there anything that has been challenging your faith? It could be something as simple as, I'd like to pray more, but I haven't been receiving answers from God. Will you be able to pray a little bit more? It could be anything from a family member's illness, like, God, why are you doing this to me and my family? It could be personal doubts, personal struggles. Whatever it is, ask God to show you what it means. Talk to him about it. Understand that, yes, it may take some time, but in the end, if you honestly want to deepen your faith in God and understand him just a little bit more, you will struggle, but if you persist and persevere, your faith will never be the same. Thank you.